You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
This lesson, when you look at it, some of you who are retired, okay, might look at the lesson and think, this is not for me. I don't work anymore, okay? But I want you to look at it a little differently. We're going to just talk about biblical principles for leaders and followers. And these principles can apply in the workplace. They can apply in the home. Definitely apply in the church, okay? So we're going to go ahead and get started. And the title of the lesson tonight is A Man Set Under Authority, Biblical Principles for Leader-Follower Relationships. A man set under authority, biblical principles for leader-follower relationships. Why don't we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into the scriptures. Dear Lord, thank you very much for this day that you've given to us, the safety, allowing us to come to church. Thank you for our pastor. Pray that you would protect him and his family. Lord, bless them and give them safety as they return. And Lord, thank you for blessing us, Lord, with Brother Wilkerson, Lord, arriving with his members of his family, as well as the tour group. I pray that you would bless and protect them, and thank you for using him there in Hammond. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayer regarding Brother Fisher. We pray, God, that you continue to raise him up and bless his church, Father. And Lord, may you please just give us some things, Lord, that we can use in our relationships tonight. Lord, as I was thinking and praying and, Lord, reading these scriptures, Lord, I was reminded of some things that I need to put into practice. And Lord, you know what's going on for me at work. And Lord, this was just a great reminder. I just pray that you would just help us tonight. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Luke chapter number 7, verses 1 through 10. Luke 7, 1 through 10. And so we'll begin. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. So we have a centurion who was an official there in the Roman army. He had a servant, and the Bible describes that servant as dear unto him. Okay? He had a very special place in his heart. And this servant was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So he sent unto the elders, if you would, and asked Jesus if he would come and heal his servant who was dear unto him. And verse 4 it says, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, catch what they said, that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Verse 5 says, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So this centurion had a love relationship with the people over which he was leading. And you can see that, if you would, the tenderness and the compassion just, I think, in these scriptures, if you kind of look between the lines here. Verse 6 says this, and Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, and look what he says, for I am not worthy. Now, previously in the upper scriptures, right, they said that he was worthy, the people that he said, he's worthy to do this because he loves our nation. But the centurion's own view of himself was that he was not worthy. There was some humility there. And leaders need humility. They really, really do. And again, this is not just an employee-employer. This is mom and dad at home, your leaders, right? We need to demonstrate humility. Working in church, those who lead ministries or whatnot, and we need to have humility. And so this applies everywhere, if you would. And so let's continue on. And I'll just reread the last part of verse 6. For I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And look what he says in verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. If you would, go to Romans chapter 13 and then pick up Genesis chapter 9. Romans chapter 13, we're just laying a foundation here, and then we're going to take off really quick. Romans chapter 13. So the centurion said, I am a man set under authority. So let's look biblically at this concept of authority, particularly as it relates to government. If you would, look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. And Pastor will be teaching and preaching on this as we're going through our study in the book of Romans, I'm sure here in several weeks. We will not belabor this passage of scripture. Just want to just call out a few things here. Look at verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So that word power there is talking about authority, okay? Verse number 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, or resisteth the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And that word damnation is, just means judgment, okay? I don't want to get on a sidetrack, but I just want to mention this. You know, it's interesting when you listen to just media, news, and just listen to our culture. And, you know, when people, you know, talk about, oh, the police stopped me and everything, and they're trying to spin it, you know, like the cops are, you know, out to get them, and, you know, and they're doing wrong. And they're not just submitting themselves under authority, okay? So I don't want to get too far into that, okay? I'll mention something about that later on. But just understand, if we're doing something wrong, okay, and the police officer stops us, right, they have that biblical authority. Okay, because you'll notice further, they are ministers of God. Did you ever think of the police officer as a minister of God? You don't hear that today in the news, do you? Okay, again, I just want to challenge us. We're professing believers. I think most people in the auditorium here are professing believers. Let's just think biblically about these issues, okay? And so let's continue on. It says here in verse number 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, please understand, there's a lot to be preached here to those civic leaders, okay? Because we, you know, hey, we as men, we're sinners, you know, and we tend to mess up things that God gives us to do, right? Okay. So there are civic leaders who overstep their bounds, okay? And the scripture tells leaders how they should be behaving, all right? But again, that's for another time. But just let's look at the scriptures say here. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. In verse number 4, talking about the ruler, it says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be, what's that next word? Subject, obedient, submissive, not only for wrath, but what? Also for conscience sake. Hey, be submissive because you know what? If you don't obey the authority, you know, they can get you, right? But as Christians, we need to do it for conscience sake because God told us to. It's the right thing to do, okay? So again, you're not going to hear this on the news today, are you? What do we hear on the news? All cops are evil. We should resist, right? You know, the Occupy movement and all that type of stuff, all right? Okay, again, I'm challenging us. Think biblically about this issue. All right, so, and then we'll stop there, okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter 9. We'll go back there, Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. I'm doing a time check. I realize what time it is, okay? Don't get nervous. We'll get done in good time, all right? Genesis chapter number 9. I know there is an ongoing joke, you know. People tend to sweat whenever I'm asked to teach because I bring pages and pages of outlines and people are wondering if we're going to be here an hour, hour and a half, okay? We're not going to do that tonight, okay? We'll get out of here in good time, all right? You'll see, all right? Genesis chapter number 9, verses 5 and 6, Let me stop gabbing here and turn to my Bible, okay, and then print these scriptures out. Genesis chapter number 9, let's look at verses 5 and 6. And surely, now the Lord is speaking, okay, to Noah, and this is after the flood, okay? And so verse number 5 says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Those two verses right there establish capital punishment. Capital punishment is the government's, if you would, authority to take someone's life for a crime, in this case, murder. Capital punishment is limited, and you need to look in the Old Testament to see how they applied it. But right here it says, whoso sheds man's blood, what? His blood shall be shed. In other words, human government steps in and execute judgment, okay? And so there's another passage, if you're interested in that, and that's Numbers 35, verses 9 through 34, but we won't go there tonight. So there is much instruction and guidance in the Bible about how men and women are to behave and conduct themselves, both as leaders and followers in various aspects of life. In these last days, we see and hear by way of media, as well as our own personal experiences, man's rebellion against God and his established authority. Now, there's some scriptures there that I put in your outline. We're not going to take time to read those, okay? I want to just kind of keep it moving. But I challenge you to read. These verses identify basically the times in which we live, okay? And so just know that what we see in the attitude of the world, okay, regarding biblical authority was prophesied, and it's a mark of the last days, okay? And so, and just, I will mention this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you know, the prophet Samuel told Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. And rebellion is just to go against God-established authority in whatever form you want to see it in. And so just know that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's a very serious thing. And we as God's children should not be marked by rebellion. Let's go on. As professing believers in Christ, we are to honor and obey God-ordained authority. For by doing so, we adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That's taken from Titus chapter 2 and verse number 10. Now, we're going to look at the first part of the outline, and so you should have a blank there. It says, for leaders, okay? So number one, leaders. Let's look at Exodus chapter 18, and we're going to now put this into fourth gear and go quickly. Let's turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 18. Exodus chapter number 18, and for the sake of time, we are only going to look at just a few verses there, even though I've given a larger passage of scripture. But basically, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes on the scene, and Jethro sits and observes how Moses listens and makes judgment for the children of Israel. And Jethro gives Moses some advice, and I think that advice is something that we need to look to as those who are leading, okay, those who are leading. So you can take this and apply. If you are in a position of leadership at work, maybe you're in a position of leadership here in the ministry, maybe, you know, even at home, some of these things may apply as well as leaders. So let's kind of look at that, okay? So Exodus chapter number 18, let's look here, and let's go ahead and do this. Let's jump down to verse number 17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. He was watching Moses do all the judgment himself. And he said, that's not good. Okay? And he says further, he says, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And that's a good thing to remember. In a leadership capacity, we just remember, you know, if God has given us some measure of leadership and we're functioning in a leadership role, we can't do everything by ourselves, okay? And those of us that leaders, you know, sometimes look like, well, if anything's going to get done, right, I got to do it myself, right? And we just try to do everything. But that's not God's design for leadership. We need to have people come alongside and assist and to help. And so, look what it says here in verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So, look at verse 21. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And we will stop there. And let's go on our outline, okay? And again, we're just going to take from the scriptures and go to our outline here. So number one is just some thoughts for us to consider. Again, we're talking about leadership, biblical principles for leader-follower relationships. And so please apply it. Ask the Lord to guide your heart and mind and apply it to however you think it would be most beneficial for you. So number one, what's in the ultimate good of the people being led? That's a question should be asked. What is in the ultimate good of the people being led? Secondly, what is in the best interest of the leader so that the leader can lead effectively? What is in the best interest of the leader so that the leader can lead effectively? What are the tasks that the main leader should be focusing on? What are the tasks that the support leader should be doing that free up the main leaders to do their job? Let's look up Acts chapter number 6 and see this concept applied to the local church. Acts chapter number 6. I believe it's a familiar passage to many here. Let's look at what this passage tells us. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts 6, 1 through 7. All right. Acts chapter number 6, verses 1 through 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So as the church was growing in those early days, there was a murmuring, a complaining, if you would, of the Grecians, okay, against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration of the daily service. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, were they saying that from a position of pride? That they were beneath serving tables? Were they saying that? No. They were establishing the priority or their calling. What was their priority? We see it there, that they, what? The word of God was their priority. Okay, and that's why they said in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Look at verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And we'll stop there, okay? They listed the deacons. Basically, these are the first deacons. But I want us to look at verse number 7. And the word of God, what happened? It increased. Remember, their primary function was what? They said, we should not leave the word of God to serve tables, right? Look ye out seven men. Pick seven men that we may appoint this business that can help us, right? And the church did that. They did proper delegation to the proper people, people in their right roles, doing the right functions. And guess what happened? The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So it's important that leaders are doing the right thing. Our pastor cannot do it all, okay? You know, there's been messages lately encouraging us, and Joshua had preached about and reminded us this past Sunday about using our spiritual gifts. We need to be busy doing the work of the ministry, because the work of ministry is not only given to a handful of people. Okay? If we are all actively involved, leaders in their positions of leadership, followers in their position of fellowship, everyone's ministering according to their gifts, guess what will happen here? The word of God will increase, and a great company of the priests will become obedient to the faith. We are, by the way, priests in a spiritual sense before the Lord. Let's move on. Okay? So, Number three, what's the proper span of control? What's the proper span of control? Follower to leader ratio. And you'll see that at the end of Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 20. Number four, what are the identified moral qualities of a leader? Okay, going back to Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 21, let's look at that. There are four things listed there. Number one, able men. You want to put that in, able men. And I kind of elaborated on this a little bit. Technical or professional know-how, leadership or people skills, gift of ruling in the context of the local church. Okay, by the way, God has placed and given members of our church the gift of ruling, or we call it gift of administration, to organize, to help lead things within the church and lead ministries and other things, okay? And so that's why it's so important that you know what your spiritual gift is, and so exercise it, again, that the church would be healthy and strong. Second, moral quality, such as fear God, such as fear God. Leaders who see themselves as God will rule as despots. You say, what's a despot? I don't use that word every day. Yeah, I don't either. But a despot is an emperor or king or a prince invested with absolute power or ruling without any control from men, constitution, or laws. Hence, in a general sense, it's a tyrant. And a tyrant is a cruel leader who rules over the people with rigor and without proper regard for laws. Okay? And hard, evil ruler. Okay? And by the way, in the Old Testament, Exodus, Pharaoh was an example. They ruled people with rigor, right? A tyrant. And we can see the example of Pharaoh as an evil ruler. So we see here, moral qualities are able men, such as fear God. Three, men of truth. And number four, hating covetousness. Hating covetousness. Let's look at Deuteronomy 16, Deuteronomy chapter number 16. Let's look at verse number 19, Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, and let's look at verse number 19. Deuteronomy 16 and verse number 19, we're going to look at the last part. Deuteronomy 16, verse 19. First part of the verse says, thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. In other words, don't take bribes. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So we should not be taking gifts. You know, at work, we have corporate compliance. And one of the parts of a corporate compliance rules is that we don't take gifts from our vendors. Okay, so I several times over the years, I've had to turn away gift baskets and gift cards and other things at Christmas time from the vendors that come in because we can't be seen as, you know, taking gifts and bribes that might skew our judgment in awarding contracts or different things to people. So, you know, same principle, okay? And so as leaders, we should hate covetousness. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 9, Ephesians 6, 9. And then Colossians 4, 1, Ephesians 6, 9, and Colossians 4, 1. Yes. Number three, men of truth. Thank you very much. Men of truth. Thank you. Thank you very much, Charlene. I forgot that. Men of truth. So able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness. So a man of truth, an honest person, not characterized by manipulative, deceitful, flattering ways. They're not spin masters. Okay, for professing believers in Christ, we're guided by the truth of God's word, the Bible. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 9, okay, familiar passage of scripture. We'll read it here, Ephesians 6, 9, it says this, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And then Colossians 4 and verse number 1 says this, Colossians 4, 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So let's go ahead and go through these quickly. So number one, we're under Ephesians 6, 9, and Colossians 4, 1. So number one, do good will unto the employees as unto the Lord. So leaders, do good will unto the employees or unto those that are following you as unto the Lord. Do good to them. Number two, forbear threatening. Forbear threatening. Now, I have a note here. Pray, be discerning, and follow established workplace policies and procedures to address threatening behavior. Those of you, you know, in your workplace, you know, you have harassment policies and threat, you know, when people say threatening things or exhibit behavior that you perceive to be threatening, right? If that stuff's going on, you know, follow your policies and procedures and whatnot, okay? And do that and pray and be discerning about that, okay? Number three, apply expectations, rules, policies and procedures, and disciplinary actions fairly to all staff. Apply expectations, rules, policies and procedures, and disciplinary actions fairly to all staff. Those with whom the leader gets along well, and those with whom the leader doesn't. Leaders have favorites, don't they? People, you know, you could talk to, ask them to do something, and they do it. They don't talk back. They don't give you, you know, they're in your corner. Your heart goes out to them. You want to, right? But then you got those that push back, they complain, you know, they don't want to do what you ask them to. And are those your favorites? No, no. Those tend to take a lot of your time because you're dealing with HR issues, right? And so but as supervisors, forbear threatening, apply rules, expectations fairly. Number four, give that which is just and equal. Give that which is just and equal. Okay? Now, go to Matthew chapter 20. We're not going to read all 16 verses, but there is a part of scripture here that I think is very poignant for our discussion tonight, very relevant. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, we're going to look at verses 13 to 15. Basically, the Lord is giving, if you would, a parable. And in this parable, he is basically talking about workers who receive, they started different times of the day, but they receive the same amount. Okay? And so I want us to look at what it says. Look at verse number 13. Matthew 20, verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 11, verse 10, actually. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour. They've only worked 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden, the heat of the day. These people came and only worked 1 hour. We've been here out in the field all day in the heat and the sun, and we get the same? Okay? But look what he says in verse 13. But he answered and one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that, thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. In verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do that which I will with mine own? What's the answer? Yes, it is. Okay? And then he says, is thine eye evil because I am good? Boy. I have a note here. We won't take time to go into it. Okay, I'm monitoring the clock here. But I'll read the note. Be discerning about what's currently going on in the culture around the minimum wage issue. While it is very appealing to want the government to require employers to pay a certain wage, one needs to remember that a thriving free marketplace will drive competitive wages. Okay? Also, we need to be speaking to business owners, small business owners in California, and to get their take on how it is to run a business in California with all of the regulations and the rules and the fees. Okay? Running a business is not easy, particularly a small business. And so, you know, we got all this media out here telling us, oh, we need to pay this wage. It is immoral for us to go to companies, to business owners, says you must do X. Now, I know there's legal minimum wage. I know that. I understand that. But you hear all this talk in the media about living wage and about a minimum wage being at this dollar, that dollar. Just think about what the unintended consequences will be. I just want you to put on your thinking caps and think through that and compare that with what this parable is saying. I would imagine some in this room might be bristling at what I just said. Okay? All right? But I challenge you to think biblically about the issue. All right, let's move on. Now let's talk about followers. Followers, real quickly. So we looked at leaders. Now let's look at followers. And again, this can apply to the you're at work, you have a job, and I'm saying particularly for the young people that are just starting out and getting jobs and working, please follow these. Follow this, I tell you. I don't know how many interviews that I've conducted in over my time at work, trying to hire people, but I tell you, I when people come in, they have great work ethics. Oh, it just makes things so much easier. You will get noticed, and you'll be put, you know, and they'll look at you, and you'll be able to be more promotable and all that. But I'm going to get ahead of myself. So let's go on further. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8, real quickly. Okay, do a time check. All right, let's go this quickly. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 6 through 8. And let's look at this. Again, what we're talking about here, same principles can apply in any follower-type relationship where you're subordinating yourself to a leader. Okay, Ephesians 5, and let's look at verses 5 through 8. Ephesians 6, I apologize. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, it says this. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Jump over to Colossians chapter number 3, companion passage of scripture. I'll begin reading for the sake of time, Colossians 3 at the end of the chapter. Okay, we'll look at verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So, real quickly, number one, be obedient. Those of us that are under authority, just like the centurion was ruled over people that reported to him, but he also reported to someone, right? So you know what? We're not the ultimate authority. God is the ultimate authority. So look, just again, do an assessment of all your relationships where you are a follower under God-ordained authority, and guess what? We are to be obedient. We are to be obedient. Okay. Look, number one, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Have respect for your boss and or your boss's position as a leader. Now, some bosses, they're hard to respect. But you are to respect their position of authority, okay? And demonstrate humility towards your boss. Okay, that's important, okay? Number two, in singleness of heart. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Do your job keeping your focus on Christ so as to say that you're doing your job for Christ, who is the best master or boss anybody can have, okay? And so that's important. Number three, not with eye service as men pleasers. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Do your work the best way possible at all times, not just when the supervisor is around and looking. Number four, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And number five, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Number two, so number one was be obedient. Number two, accept just discipline and punishment and consequences for wrongdoing or poor performance. Accept just discipline and punishment or consequences for wrongdoing or poor performance. You know, if we're honest and just kind of let the shades down a little bit and kind of let our feelings show, we don't like our boss to come and tell us what we've done wrong, because we like to think we're the best employee and we don't need any correction. Okay? But when you look and read through the book of Proverbs and study how often reproof comes up and correction, it comes up a lot. And so we as subordinates, if you will, as employees, we should be listening to our boss and we should receive correction. And when we mess up, let's fess up. Let's not point fingers. Let's own it. That's important, okay? Those of you who are in a supervisory role, do you like it when your subordinates point fingers and blame shift and all of that? No. You like it when they accept it and own it. You can work with that. And so that's what we need to do. And by the way, is there anything different in the church? You know, if pastor or Sunday school or Mrs. Walker, you know, someone comes and they say, hey, you know, we got to talk to you about something. We need to do a little tweaking. We need to do a little correcting in this area. How would we respond? Don't you know I'm a volunteer? You can't talk to me that way. By the way, volunteer leaders, that is something in the back of the mind that we have, like, well, you know, I need to talk to that person, but you know, they might get upset and then they might take their marbles and run and go home, and then I'm lost. I'm out of someone to serve. Am I saying something that's is foreign and never? No. We can't be that way, okay? we need to let the rulers, the leaders lead, and if they see something, need to correct, let us have correctable and teachable spirits. All right, so Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Titus 2, 9 and 10, okay? Titus 2, 9 and 10. For the sake of time, I'm just going to give you the answers, okay? Number one, be obedient. Be obedient. Number two, please them. Who are them? Leaders and supervisors. Please them well. Number three, not answering again. Answering again means talking back when told to do something. Oh, by the way, parents, grandparents, okay, this is good to teach kids as they're growing up, okay? To do things when they're first told. Because if they're answering back to you, mama or daddy, okay, when they're 10, 11, and teenagers, guess what? When they come into my department, they're going to be answering back to me. And guess what? We're going to manage them out. They're going to be out of a job. Okay? So it's important that we make sure that we teach, don't answer again. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go to the supervisor and say, hey, can we have a talk? I really need to talk to you about something, you know, and seek to, you know, work out situations. But if your authority gives you a legal, all right, directive to do something that is not against God, then what should you do? Do it. Obey, all right? Not answering again. Number four, not purloining. That word purloining, it just means to steal. Don't steal. What are some of the ways that employees can steal? Time? Yeah. You know that old term called broomsticking, right? You know, gossiping, talking, you know, on your phone, you know. Oh, that's a major thing in workplaces today. You know, I'm doing my rounds, I'm seeing people lean over, you know, looking on their phones, and they're supposed to be working, you know. So, please, you know, don't steal time. Okay, don't steal stuff. Don't steal pencils and pens and paper and all that, you know, whatever, okay? Don't steal. That's what it's telling. Don't steal. All right. And then number five, showing all good fidelity. Showing all good fidelity. That means being faithful and dependable. Oh, having people to show up to work. By the way, sick time, that's a benefit, okay? It's not a right. I know in California, I know there's different laws. I get that. But some people look like, well, if I don't use my sick time, you know, then they look at it as additional vacation time. No. Sick time is when you're sick. I know I'm winning friends and influencing people now. I know that. Looking at me, right? Yeah. But, you know, just please. Again, we're professing believers, right? And we are to be the best employees that there are. And so let's be faithful. Let's be dependable. Okay? All right. In closing, other things to consider. There's some scripture verses in the book of Proverbs. We're not going to take time to read it, but I would encourage you to read through these particular proverbs because they deal with kings or rulers in authority. And it's very interesting. There's verses in there about telling about the king, about don't make the king angry. Okay? There's one particular verse that we may get to just in 1 minute here, but I take some time to read that. All right, so number one, let's go through these real quickly and we'll be done. Other things to consider real quickly. How to do work. And Proverbs 6, that's talking about the ant. Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. Ant doesn't have an overseer, no guide, but yet what? Provides her food. Ant's busy as an ant, just doing, taking initiative. Number two, how and when to speak. That's important. Sometimes we, as in the following position, you know, we just go off the mouth and we say things we shouldn't, and we get in our mouth get us in trouble. Number three, how to take correction, and that's reproof. How should you take correction? Number four, how to give correction and mentor. I took this particular point. I was thinking about when Rehoboam became king after his father died, and he went to the elders, the leaders, that the wise men that were with his father Solomon, and they gave him some good advice, but he didn't listen to it. He listened to the advice of his friends. But they basically told him, be kind to this people. And so I just kind of put it there. Don't answer roughly. Speak kindly. That's very important. Leaders shouldn't be rude, and vice versa. Followers shouldn't be rude as well. Number five, how to hurt or rejoice with subordinates. Now, I put in brackets there when David's men had their beard shaved. That was a humiliating situation. Okay? They had half of their beard shaved and their clothes cut off, exposing them. And David just said, tarry here until your beards be grown. And he dealt kindly with them. And he entered into that embarrassment with them as a leader. And he behaved appropriately. Number six, not honoring oneself. Number seven, don't abuse authority. Number seven, don't abuse authority. Number eight, how to resolve conflict. Is there going to be conflict between leader-follower relationships or in them? Oh, yeah, all the time. All right, so we need to know how to resolve conflict. Number nine, this is a big one, how to set expectations. How many of you have been told or given a task to do it and with no instructions? You went about doing it only to find out that the task you did it for, the person didn't like what you did. How did that make you feel? Were you angry? Were you disappointed? You said, I wasted all that time. Let's get the expectations out on the table, right? That's very important, okay? The follower needs to know the expectations as well as the leader. The leader needs to give them. And then number 10, what to do with difficult boss. What to do with a difficult boss? Number 11, honoring the work or sacrifice of your subordinates. Honoring the work or sacrifice of your subordinates. I listed there 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and that talks about a time when David longed for water, I believe, from Jerusalem, And so a few of his mighty men went, broke through, got the water, brought it back to David. And what did David do with it? He poured it out. He wouldn't drink it. He honored the sacrifice and the work of his subordinates. Number 12, your profitability, not intrinsic value. I'm not talking about your worth as a person. I'm talking about your profitability as an employee or your profitability as a follower. Our profitability is measured after we've done the basic thing. And we won't take the time, but I challenge you to look at Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Okay? And basically, there's a phrase in there. After we've done all that we're after we've done all that we do, that we consider ourselves unprofitable servants. Okay? My profitability as an employee begins when when I've exceeded the basic. I've gone above and beyond. Shouldn't Christian people go above and beyond? Yeah, we should. We should. Okay? By the way, this attitude of work does carry over into ministry. And I tell you, I'm pointing some fingers this way, but I got three pointing back at me. Okay? The Lord's been speaking to my heart about some things that I need to do better, okay, particularly in ministry, and to, you know, get, you know, like Brother Joshua mentioned, the pastor mentioned, you know, get back and doing and working, you know, and get out of the quote-unquote COVID mode, okay, all right? And so, again, how we work in the workplace, those same behaviors can also, if you would, be trickle in, or if you would, come in to the church, and we need to be not lazy, but working, and so that's important. So these things apply everywhere. Okay, and then number 13, investigating, uncovering, and dealing with issues. There's some verses there from the book of Proverbs. We won't take time to read those, but leaders should be investigating, uncovering, and dealing with issues. And I got an earful at work today about something that I need to take care of as a leader. So this one's particularly poignant for me today. And then number 14, young people, how do you get promoted? Promotion, by the way, comes from the Lord. So how do you get promoted? Number one, don't promote yourself. Do not do that. And there's verses listed there. We won't read them. Number two, be diligent. Be diligent. Okay? Be diligent. And number three, take initiative. Take initiative. Number four, don't be lazy or slothful. There are a lot of verses in the book of Proverbs about laziness and slothfulness. And number five, serve your boss. Serve your boss. Proverbs 27:18. We're going to end with this scripture, and then we're going to go to Proverbs Hebrews 13. So pick up Proverbs 27 and Hebrews 13, and we'll be done. Okay? Let's look at Proverbs 27:18. Proverbs 27:18. And would someone with a loud voice read that to us, if you're already there? Brother Weldon? Did I give you the wrong verse? Is that 27:18? 27:18? Proverbs 27:18? The principle there, you wait when you serve your leader, okay, you'll be honored, okay? And then please don't be manipulative or serve with an ulterior motive. Remember that a professing believer in Christ serves the Lord. And lastly, Hebrews 13, we'll look at two verses. Church members are to obey their pastor. Church members are to obey their pastor. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 17. Not through 17, I apologize. Verse 7 and 17. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse number 7. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. It says this, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So we're to follow the faith of our pastor. Okay? Follow the pastor while as he follows the master, right? You may have heard of that. Let's look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That verse tells us we need to obey and we need to submit to our pastor. And so I hope that these principles you take and, you know, see where we can use and apply some of these principles. Maybe we slack off a little bit in some areas, whether as a leader or as a follower. And I believe the Lord will bless our relationships. Amen.